At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello. Can I start with a thank you to everyone that listened to our recent conversation about SFI? It proved to be really popular, and I hope if you have listened to it, that you took a lot away from that podcast. If you haven't heard it yet, then click on the Mole Valley Farmers icon wherever you're listening to us today and go back over our previous episodes. It's packed full of useful content. As is this conversation about how to prevent costly losses in livestock this spring through correct mineral supplementation. We're discussing how the poor weather has impacted mineral levels and what farmers can do about it. That's coming right now.
Another interesting conversation coming up then here on the Mole Valley Farmers podcast. Let's go around our virtual room first of all for some introductions, and we'll start with our non-Mole Valley Farmers person first of all, Alison Bond. Alison, welcome to the podcast, and just share with us who you are and why you're here today.
Thank you very much. So my name is Alison Bond. I work as the technical services manager for Netex and Romenco, covering all things related to technical and mineral nutrition. So I'm here today to help add to Lisa's knowledge from an animal point of view and feeding those animals as we go out to grass.
And our resident agronomist, Lisa.
Yeah, so Lisa Hambly, head of grassland and forage agronomy at Mole Valley Farmers, and hoping we can connect the dots today between forage, animal nutrition, and very importantly, that mineral supplementation.
Yes, so that's what the podcast's about. So if you've come to us today to learn a bit more about this supplementation at grass, you're in the right spot. So Lisa, just kick us off then, giving us an overview as to what it is we're going to be talking about.
Okay, so from our point of view, we're interested in the minerals that are in the soils, and what their availability is then to the crop. So, so many factors are regarding that. So, for example, soil type will have an effect. The soil health, how healthy that soil is, whether the right components of water, air, and mineral content are in the right proportions. So that then is available to supply the crop. So, in this case, we're talking about grass, with the nutrients it needs not only to grow, but then as an animal feed, how that then translates into animal nutrition.
Excellent. So Alison, let's get going with what do farmers then really need to think about it to turn out?
So I suppose really they need to be thinking about the quality of that grass and also the quantity of that grass that they've got available. They need to be thinking about the energy and the protein available to those animals. And actually, they need to be thinking about what they're trying to achieve from those animals. So what stage of production are those animals at in terms of the production calendar? Are they coming up to bulling? Are they calving? Are they lambing? And that will all affect the animal requirement and what that grass needs to supply.
And so the effect of this current weather then on this pasture mineral content, I guess, what has been the effect?
Well, it's a little bit extreme, obviously. We've got a lot of ground that's sitting underwater or has been underwater, and that can actually quite heavily affect that mineral content of that grass. So in particular, it affects the oxygen level and then the uptake of those minerals by the plant. And in particular, we see an increase in some of the heavy metals being taken up by these plants. And these are things like molybdenum and iron, and these can all interfere with some of the availability of some of the other minerals as well. It can also impact the effect of other major elements such as calcium, mag and phos, which again are very important if we're thinking about perhaps our cattle on the approach to calving. Those levels can be extremely important. And then what we must also remember is that as we now move through that spring and we see some of these warmer, sunny days and that grass starts to grow quite quickly, We see sometimes a dilution effect as well. So we might see things like cobalt and magnesium dropping, which can affect growth rate in young lambs. It can affect grass staggers, so put animals at higher risk of things like grass staggers and mag deficiency.
Yeah, all important things. And Lisa, you know, in our previous podcast, if you have heard the conversation about forage, you know, we were talking, weren't we, about the problems of the soil being so wet at the moment that it's been hard for farmers to get animals out. But there are added dangers, aren't there, of getting animals out there onto that wet grass?
Yeah, well, I mean, the other factors, as we say, is the soil's going to be extremely wet. So there's potential for poaching and also soil contamination, you know, on those grass wards that have been stuck out in the worst of conditions over the winter. So, you know, there are other factors in availability of you know, the grass to the cow or sheep, and challenges of actually accessing it. So there's one. And interestingly, just listening to Alison there, so she's talking about iron. Well, iron levels are increased when you have compaction. So we're talking earlier about, you know, the balance of air and water within the soil profile. Well, with the amount of water we've had, that as it drains out, that is inevitably going to cause a level of compaction. When we've had the amount of rain we've had this winter just constantly hitting the soil surface, you're going to have a level of compaction, so which actually could increase iron levels, as you say, and that's an antagonist. The other thing which, you know, we should bear in mind is that farmers of, you know, dairy farmers in particular have had issues with their, you know, large amounts of slurry accumulating because they just haven't been able to get out. So they might be actually having to put out more slurry at later periods than they might normally. So which again could cause a contamination issue. So, you know, testing that grass is absolutely vital to try and find out exactly what's in it. You know, it is only a snapshot, and you as farmers will know in more detail about the makeup of your soils in general. But whatever those underlying issues have been, so molybdenum, for example, you know, if you've naturally got high molybdenum soils anyway, then that could be exacerbated by the overwinter conditions.
I mean, we're big fans of testing here at Hywel Valley Climbers podcast, aren't we? Because it gives us such a clear view. What sort of tests then should be done, and how should they be done?
Okay, so yeah, just going back to what I've just said is, you know, knowing what you've already got out there. So your sort of 5 yearly soil tests should be looked at. So, and preferably you would have had a broad spectrum, if not an animal health soil test. So an animal health soil test, you know, you'll get the additional benefits of selenium and cobalt. I'm sure Alison's probably going to go into those in a little bit more detail. But, you know, if you know your soil type has got an underlying issue of either undersupply or oversupply, these conditions are going to highlight that. And then, so from the soil, just mentioned slurry. I'm always going on, get your slurry tested, because, you know, every farm has a different diet, has a different makeup, and that will show up in the slurry or muck that comes out the other end of the animal. And then what you can also do is fresh tissue analysis on the grass. So that will give you an idea of how that soil profile is being taken up within the crop. So it'll take into any mitigating circumstances like lack of sunshine and all that type of thing. So, you know, that's where we get to. And then, you know, if it's baled or if it's clamped, then you can have a look at how that is in the clamp at the end of the season. And, you know, from a fresh grass test point of view, like we're saying about going out in the field, and you perhaps, you know, you've got a problem or you might have a problem. You know, maybe you've had a chat with the vet in the past about issues, but that fresh grass test might back it up. So it's a snapshot. It's like taking your car for an MOT. It's on that day, but it might build up the picture of something that's going on in the background.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would totally agree. You know, get that grass analysed. It's part of the picture of understanding what's going on the farm. But I think it's probably quite important. And I think that's kind of what you were saying as well, Lisa, that it is just a snapshot of that day. And it's only, I always say the results are only as good as the sample that's been taken as well. So somebody said to me once, when you're taking a sample, think cow. So when you're walking through that field, take lots of samples, pull them up together. You know, don't take from areas that perhaps are going to be contaminated in particular. Don't take from areas that animals perhaps won't eat. And yeah, it'll give you a good picture of what's going on. You can put that with everything else, and you can build that picture over a number of years as to what's going on in those fields.
Well, Alison, we're big fans of W's in agronomy.
Okay.
Everything has to be a W. Sort apple, double, W. So tissue test, W. It's just a W.
Perfect, yeah. Yeah, that will work for me, a W or a big X or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, whatever works for you. But as long as you're taking plenty of samples throughout that field. Same goes for when you're putting it in the clamp as well. A big W across the clamp just gives you a good variation of what's going on.
And is it also worth blood testing the cattle as well?
Yeah, they certainly have a place in building that picture. I mean, if you think you've got an issue, then a blood test will definitely support that as well. They tend to sort of demonstrate, rather than the longer term, what's going on. They'll demonstrate in the short term what's going on. But as we get on to talk a little bit more about mineral deficiency, it can often be slow to show itself. So sometimes a blood test can show you something that's going on that maybe you've not quite picked up the signs of yet. So again, it can form quite a nice part of that picture to really understand what's going on and how available some of those elements are in the grass. I mean, we've already touched on things like molybdenum, perhaps locking up the copper, and your blood tests can help sort of build that picture and demonstrate whether you've got some kind of secondary deficiencies.
I was just going to say, imagine, Alison, you know, we're always in agronomy talking about crops and just the look and the feel of them to give you a good indicator, like, you know, soil, the smell of and everything. You know, with animals, it must be a similar thing. You kind of know whether they're okay or not. Farmers seem to have an inbuilt knowledge of
absolutely
individual, yeah, animal. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll understand and they'll know if a cow's not doing as it should. And it might be that it's a little bit unthrifty, I suppose. It's just they know what they should be doing, and if they're not doing it, then they, you know, they, it's worth digging in a little bit deeper, and bloods and a mineral forage analysis, it just builds that picture. And more we're telling people to undertake audits on farm to look at what's going in and what's going out and what they're wanting to achieve, and that certainly forms part of that.
Just going to say, you know, that audit thing, I think, again, if I can just talk about muck for a second, you know, this is what we see. And that's why I guess they get it tested, because that is part of that audit. We can compare to the standard to see if, you know, what's coming out the other end is above or below. So below, we think actually, you know, generally, if it's, you know, below, then the cow's utilising it pretty well. But we would go back to the nutritionist and say, you know, this is what the results we're getting. But from a point of view of soil health, you know, we're always looking to have the optimum nutrition, not too high in any areas, not too low in any areas, so that we can provide, yeah, balanced diet to the crop. So it's a similar thing.
Are there any other signs to look out for, Alison, that could indicate there is a mineral deficiency within the herd?
Tends to be sort of just reasonably low-level issues, animals just not doing, perhaps poor fertility. Maybe they're just not hitting their targets in terms of getting back in calf. Sometimes, you know, extreme things like extreme copper deficiency, you might see sort of in darker coloured animals, you might see rings around the eyes and sort of pigmentation issues. And certainly when you get to extreme things like extreme selenium deficiency, you might see white muscle disease. So animals struggling, you know, muscle aches, magnesium deficiency, animals sort of slight show sort of nervousness and sort of twitchy. That's quite a common one. So there's different stages of deficiency. And at those different stages, obviously, you're going to see different signs. So very early in deficiency, it's just generally unthriftiness, which is not particularly helpful because that can obviously be linked to a lot of different things. But that's why you start to do your bloods and you start to do your forage analysis to build that picture and sometimes knock out that as being an issue or being the reason why those animals aren't doing.
And I suppose that some farmers will be very much aware of their area and they know what's growing and they know what the deficiencies might be. And obviously we're talking about supplementation here within this podcast. But for other farmers, I guess perhaps it's something to really think about, isn't it? Because different parts of the country will have different deficiencies in certain things, I'm guessing.
I always refer to back to the soil. So magnesium is obviously a big issue in the spring for staggers. So, and Alison's going to correct me probably in a minute, but, you know, so we feed a lot of magnesium in the spring. Now, if I'm going back to the soil point of view, so magnesium levels in the soils have been going up over the past, they've just been gradually going up, say 10 years. And eventually you get to a point of the magnesium in the fields where the soils start getting very tight. Now we're talking back again about the, winter rainfall, and I'll get to my point in a minute, which is about minerals. Soils being tight is not ideal, but what also makes magnesium availability worse is potassium, so potash. So a lot of fields will have high potash because that's where they put the muck out, in which case you've got this sort of, you know, jiggling around. So I'm guessing you can help with that, Alison.
Yeah, absolutely. So magnesium is quite a complex one because it isn't, obviously, we've got quite fast growing grass in the spring, and that dilutes that magnesium that's already available. That grass has also got quite a low dry matter, so it's moving through the rumen quite quickly. So the animal can't take all the mag that's available. And then, yeah, the issue's compounded by things like high nitrogen levels, high potassium levels, which is quite commonly seen on ground that's been well treated. So in those situations, we're kind of sort of recommending some kind of supplementation to help get that extra mag into those animals. The animals don't store magnesium very well, so they need something that's going to give them a bit of mag every day just to top them up during, in particular, this risk period, which we see sort of in the spring at turnout, and we may see again in the autumn as well when that grass starts to take a bit of a second push in sort of September time.
I was going to say, what are the options? Because obviously, you know, being an agronomist, we don't have an idea. I mean, I know it goes in the compound feed, but there's, you know, if they're not having compound feed, for example, what can they do about it?
Yeah, so there's a number of different options. And the issue you've always got to remember with magnesium is it's quite bitter. It doesn't taste very nice. So compound is one way of feeding it. It can be added to water. But again, because it's bitter, you need to make sure there's no other water available in that field. So no puddles, no streams, no lakes, nothing else that those animals can drink from, because they'll drink that as opposed to the treated water. Molasses can be included in molasses. Magnesium can be included in molasses, and then that can be available free access. That's quite, you know, that molasses sort of covers that taste. And also magnesium can be included in blocks and buckets, and they can be put out as well. And they're really useful for sort of almost like an insurance policy. So don't wait until you have an animal go down with magnesium. You know, put something out just to keep that ag level over that risk period. And obviously, because a lot of them are molasses based, they cover up that taste, that bitter taste of the magnesium.
What's the best way then to determine the overall mineral intake for the livestock? And are there things to consider?
Absolutely. I touched already on sort of this concept of a mineral audit. And it's kind of, that's a term that we're using on hearing quite a lot. And it's really about looking at every different input onto the farm that could be putting minerals into those animals and really understanding that. So your forage mineral analysis forms part of that. You might look at the cake and speak to the people supplying your cake. Is there any mineral going into that? Should we be considering that? Have we treated these animals with anything else? Have we drenched them? Have we bolused them? Is there any other kind of mineral that might be coming into those animals? And it's really just about sitting down and looking at everything that's going in and what it could be supplying. And then it's looking about what those animals need, because actually what they might need today is going to be very different from what they might need in 6 months' time, depending on what you're trying to do with those animals. Are they breeding animals? Are they growing animals? And those requirements change. So it's about looking at what you're supplying versus what they actually need, and then trying to balance it and looking, you know, that will highlight any deficiencies. It will highlight any oversupplies as well.
We've mentioned antagonists a couple of times so far. Just for those not in the know, what do we mean by that?
It just means that one, so like I said about potash, actually prevents the absorption of magnesium. So if you've got too much of one, it sort of is it's stronger and more of a bully against the magnesium. So it pushes away the supply in the plant. So in which case, you know, both the plant's not getting enough and neither is the animal. So yeah, you have to have balance, and that's what this is all about. So, you know, ensuring that you're utilizing the nutrients that are going either from the soil or on the soil to the crop is in good balance. So can I mention my nutrient management plan? Done it. But yeah, and then, you know, I'm really excited to say about, you know, to hear about the mineral audit, because, you know, having studied a lot of slurry analysis, you know, you can really see a massive difference, and that's coming from the diet. And I'm always like, where's all this phosphorus coming from? Or where's all this coming from? And it'll be somewhere in that diet, because if it's not showing up in the soil, you know, it's being added somewhere else. So
absolutely. And in terms of sort of, we're talking about undersupply and deficiencies, but oversupply can be just as important as undersupply. It can cause as many issues in terms of sort of health issues, growth issues, fertility issues as actually undersupplying. And also a lot of animals can't store lots of mineral as well. So if you overfeed these minerals, they're just coming out the back end. Phosphorus being a prime example, it's an expensive element. The animal doesn't hold onto it. It just excretes it out. It becomes a pollutant and an expensive pollutant that you've paid for as well. So undertaking these audits is a really useful tool to put in place on farm, I think.
You mentioned, Alison, previously about bolus buckets, drenches. Obviously, you know, a lot of it is down to farmers' individual preferences on these things. Are there any sort of pros and cons when it comes to supplementation? Any things that are better or worse than another?
I think it will depend on the individual farmer. It will depend on their system, what they're trying to achieve. You know, take boluses, for instance, a long-lasting supply of trace elements, orally administered. It's, you know every animal has had it. So that's great. And it's done. You get them in, you do it. And that's, you know, and some of these boluses, they last sort of 4-6 months. So it's done. But there is the handling of those animals. And that's not going to suit everybody to bring all those animals in and handle them to administer that bolus. Boluses don't often contain anything more than the trace elements either. So if you're concerned about magnesium or calcium levels, then the bolus isn't maybe going to be the ideal supplement. But they work very well for extensive grazing, when animals are put out and left out for long periods and maybe away from the farm. Blocks, buckets, you know, they're a nice way. They provide everything. They're usually got a full complement in, including the major and the minor elements as well. And again, they're pretty easy to handle. Lid comes off, dropped out. There you go. It's done. But that, you know, that's a bit of a minefield, because there's a lot of them out there. So it's about sort of looking at what you need and making sure that you've got the right supplement. And you need to be sure that every animal is taking everything that it needs from that bucket as well. Another one that's quite common is just loose free access minerals, which can be in feed or free access, so they can be put out and just left for the animal to take what it needs, or they can be top dressed or mixed through a ration, and that's quite nice. You know, quite often we can do more bespoke minerals. So going back to your mineral audit, if you've highlighted a specific issue, it's easy for minerals to be a bit more bespoke to that farm. So that's quite good. But again, a bit of a downside of that is that handling all the time. You know, if you're not putting together, if you're just putting a big bale out, or animals are just at grass, then a mineral, free access mineral might not be suitable. So yeah, a number of different things there to look at. And I suppose it is just about thinking about what's going to work for you from a labour point of view, from an animal requirement point of view on your farm.
And I guess once you've done all that and you've had your audit, you know what it is that you're after, you're then confronted with, again, lots of different choices when it comes to picking those mineral supplements. Any sort of top tips on what really people should be looking out for?
I think it's just a case of having a really good look at the label and digging down into that label, because it is a bit of a minefield. And you know, we don't have time today, but you've got things like all your protected trace elements, and we talk about feeding multiple coppers to help overcome copper deficiency or copper lockup. So it's just digging down into that label and really understanding what's in that supplement, what it's going to supply. And if you're looking at boluses and drenches, what's the daily supply? How long is that supply? You know, how long is that going to last for me? And again, looking at what you need and what's going to work for you, I suppose. So speaking to your rep and your manager and whoever's sort of selling you the mineral supplements, really getting all the information you need from them. If it's not on the label, don't be frightened to keep asking for that information.
At least, I guess, from Mall Valley's perspective, the level of skill and expertise within our teams, they can help point people in the right direction.
We've got, like you say, we've got the buckets, but we've also got our very own mineral manufacturing facility. We're the only company that has that facility with the expertise that goes along with that, very long-standing expertise. And it's very exciting to be working with that team and really joining together the things that are, you know, in the soil, in the crop, in the animal. And like you say, like Alison, you know, blending that all together. So we've got a real picture and we can have long-term benefits to that. Alison was just saying about calcium, for example. And I mentioned magnesium, but I forgot its friend, calcium. Now, you know, calcium and magnesium balance is absolutely critical. And one of the really easy ways of improving calcium in a crop is making sure your pH is right. And if you've got a low pH, add in lime, which is abundant in calcium, to the crop. It just balances that magnesium that might be coming out of the back end of the animal, makes the soil healthier, makes supply much better. So pH is absolutely critical, and calcium are missing all of us. We need that calcium. And quite often in soil tests and in fresh tissue tests, we're coming back with the low calcium. And, you know, that can be, a very fine line. I don't know, Alison will probably be able to say more about that. But there's a great opportunity for us to optimise this nutrition for the benefits of every part of the system.
Absolutely, yeah. And calcium exactly is really, it's a structural element. It's really important for the skeleton. I think the body contains something like 2% calcium. Of all the minerals, calcium is 45%. And 98% of that is within that skeleton. So it's really important for our growing animals, and not forget our lactating animals, where they're, you know, high levels of calcium are sort of being lost every day in that milk. So needs to be replaced. Yeah, absolutely. So is really important element.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found the conversation interesting, and we really value you choosing to listen to our podcast. If you haven't already, then please hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening to this today. And until next time, I'll speak to you soon.